Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz along with Michael Wiseman. Everybody that is watching us live here on YouTube, please click on the subscribe button just below the video right now. Subscribe to us. I don't know why you're not subscribing to us already. And also, please make sure to us if you're listening to the Between the Ropes podcast on all the various places that you can get the pod, including iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud and Google Play and all those fun different places. I am feel like I'm going a mile a minute, Michael, because I got back from my vacation and it's just like catching up with other things and going back to work. And, you know, there's important TV shows that need to be watched as well, wrestling and otherwise. So there's a lot going on right now.
You gotta chill out, man. You gotta take a second and breathe. I just got a notification on my phone from Between the Ropes. Apparently, I follow Between the Ropes. Who'd think it? And it said, hey, guess what? The guys are live right now doing a show. So do it on your cell phone. Take your cellular device and follow us on YouTube. It's a cool place to be.
We'll do this one time.
Okay.
In honor of a man who just lost his job. We'll do it live. You have no idea what that reference is to.
There's something in the 80s in wrestling. That's where you always lose me.
It is absolutely not. That is a Bill O'Reilly reference.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly.
Who back in the day was asked to do like this insert, and they kept screwing it up, or he kept screwing it up, and they wouldn't tape it right. And he was like, F it, we'll do it live.
Bill O'Reilly
today is without work.
Yep.
So
maybe,
we'll pull one out for Bill.
You know, there is one spot available on the either Raw or SmackDown announcing team, depending on how you look at it. So maybe Bill O'Reilly has a shot.
Well, I see a three-man booth on both sides right now. Now, mind you, on the Raw side, you know, they're going with Booker T for 6 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and then we'll go back to the normal booth. But
then there's that other dude taking Mauro Ranallo's spot on SmackDown. What's his face? He's probably temporary.
Todd Phillips.
Todd Grisham. Yep. He's
going to be. Or Tom Phillips, as we like to call him, which is his real name.
Okay. Tom Phillips. Old Tasty Tom.
So we'll talk a lot about all the different things going on with WWE right now. And we're going to get into some other topics, too, when it comes to some injuries in wrestling and not just in WWE. And we'll talk about some indies and some different things that are going on there. We need to get down to business, though, because Mike is parched, I'm certain, right?
I'm always parched. You know, Brian, whenever you have those stresses of life, whenever the speed of life is just too much to handle, Brian, whenever you just can't keep up with this wild and wacky world that we live in, sometimes you just gotta tune to the tune of an old Pabst Blue Ribbon right here.
I thought you were gonna say slow down and just enjoy a course, but
well, okay, well, you can do that too, except it's a Pabst Blue Ribbon. This is the other silver bullet, cheap beer, established in Milwaukee in 1844. That's way before I or probably you were ever born.
Believe it or not, yes, it was before I was born.
Just listen to this. If I can just read a spot here. This is the original Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Nature's choicest products provide its prized flavor. Only the finest hops and grains are used. Selected as America's best in 1893, Brian. It was the best over 100 years ago, so it's probably still the best today.
I'm surprised you are not wearing your hipster hat to go with the hipster beer.
Oh, I should, but then you wouldn't get to see the hipster hair. So no glass this week. You get PBR, you don't pour it into a glass, you drink it straight out of the can. Normally this should be a tall boy, so I'm
not gonna say that's not even a tall boy, man. What's going on here?
I bought a 24 pack for $8 at the store, so
of course you did.
Let's get this party started right though.
You know, beer's got to be good when it only costs 33 cents per.
You know, beer's got to be good when it splashes all over your face. So there we have it.
Do you need a moment to clean up?
You know, we're good. It's got in my face, got in my eyes. We're okay. It's what you wear eye protectors for.
Yeah, exactly. So let's a couple of things here at the start of the show. Not to get off on a bad note, but we do need to give our thoughts and condolences to former WWE wrestler Rosie Matanoi, who unfortunately passed away earlier this week. That's Roman Reigns' older brother. And we saw him, you know, back in the day in WWE. He even wrestled a match last year, I think, somewhere on the Independence with Shane Helms, who used to be his tag team partner in WWE for a while. But I believe it was congestive heart failure, and he passed away. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. And that That's a tough one. We don't always hear when people are dealing with some kind of a health issue or disease or anything like that. So maybe it didn't come to a surprise to the family, but it did to, you know, a lot of wrestling fans, you know, who did not know about that. And you know what, even if people in his family knew that he was dealing with this, I mean, when the end comes, it always feels like it, you know, it comes, you know, out of nowhere, and it's always very sudden. And, he's still a very young man. So, we hope, the best for the family as they try to get through this, this period. And, it's a tough one.
And not to diminish his accomplishments in the ring. He is a former tag team champion, had some really fun segments with Hurricane Helms back in the day in the Attitude Era. But he was related to our man, Roman Reigns. What's the connection? Is it cousin? What is it?
That's it. Rosie is Roman's older brother.
Older brother. Okay. Yeah. I did not quite realize it was that close. And I just want to set the stage here and say that if you were one of those jack clowns who have been in some way using this to fuel your Roman Reigns hate, that's a step too far. That is something that is completely uncalled for. We all get it. Roman Reigns is not liked in character on stage, but bringing personal family issues into it are you know, not acceptable this day and age. Again, this is a serious issue, and our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends.
Let's talk about what happened on WWE this week between Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, to me, it really felt like this was kind of a placeholder week. And I think we're in that period of WWE where it's post-WrestleMania. And it's kind of, okay, we obviously have programming that we need to, you know, fill up. But do we want to really go with our top stuff right now? Let's give some morsels of some good stuff. Everything else is kind of going to be this placeholder stuff until we get to the really big feuds until later in the summer, going into SummerSlam. So it's not, I guess it's kind of the summer lull right now. I mean, it's not horrible, but at the same time, you feel like there's things that are being held back. The pace is a little bit slower so they can get through the 3 hours of Raw and the 2 hours of SmackDown. It just kind of feels like you're not giving me everything you got. You're doing what you need to right now. You know, and you're kind of in third gear before you get to fifth gear later on, you know, in the next few months.
It's the lulls of summer, baby. It's where we're at. And this used to be different back in the day. I remember, what was it, 2009, whenever they debuted WWE Superstars. In the very first episode, a couple of weeks after WrestleMania, they hyped up the big match. It was the return of Undertaker after his Mania match conquering Shawn Michaels, and he got to face Matt Hardy on a Thursday night on the main event of Superstars. So, you know, things have changed since then, obviously. But yeah, we're just really into the lulls of summer. The talent are still come out. They bring their passion. But it does feel like a transition period. We have transition champions. I think you look at the SmackDown Women's Division, and we're definitely in a transitional phase there. We'll see what happens. I feel like Randy Orton is probably a transitional champion as well. Just to get us through until whatever comes next. The bigger guns maybe around Money in the Bank and, of course, heading into SummerSlam.
Well, here's the big things he did this week. So, obviously, on Raw, they did Big Show against Braun Strowman. And I guess kind of in a way, Braun won because they did the whole superplex spot with the ring breaking, which they hadn't done since, you know, Brock Lesnar, Big Show did that back in 2003 at a show here in Orlando that I was at. And so they brought that back and the crowd went crazy. And
didn't they do it with Big Show and Mark Henry? Was that
maybe?
Am I false remembering that?
You might be false remembering it. I know they've done it a couple of times, so you might be right. But the last time that I can remember off the top of my head is that time that they did it with Lesnar. But
let's give one for the Wiseman here. 2011 Vengeance, Big Show versus Mark Henry ring collapse. And here's the only reason I know that is because my wife pointed it out whenever we saw the ring collapse Monday night.
Okay. So I know they've done it a couple of times. I just couldn't remember when the other time was. So they've done this a couple of times, but this one was a little bit more dramatic, I guess, because the referee was still in the ring. And by the way, we have not gotten an update on the health of one John Cone, who took a horrendous bump when the ring collapsed as he fell out of the ring. And he fell right by the ring as that thing exploded. And John Cone, We need an update on this man. I don't know if like his back is broken, you know, if he needs neck surgery, what's going on with this dude right now. But it was, if you watch the video, if you watch the replay back, he was holding onto the top rope. Like he was ready for the bump. And so he's like holding on. And that thing comes, the ring just collapses. He's like, ah!
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like ejector seat goes out.
It was perfect. It was beautiful. It was a tremendous ref bump in the grandest of fashions. Oh, yeah, here we go. The thing about the referees in the past is they just kind of fall inside the ring, but he fell outside. And it did feel like they even poofed out the ring even more with the stairs going flying and everything else. It was pretty good.
I guess if you have the carefully trained eye, as some people have said, so there was like some kind of air mattress kind of device under the ring that kind of puffed it up, and that allowed for them to do this. And we should have known, because like the ring was slightly higher and like the LED lights and the corner posts were not working at the time, so they had basically unplugged everything. And then when the move came, it was, you know, the explosion of the ring, you know, falling apart. Not like a Japanese death match, okay, between, you know, Mick Foley and Terry Funk back in the day, but the ring just, you know, fell apart from these two behemoths. And at the end, Big Show stayed there and was laying with Braun Strowman up and growling. So I guess he won the match. He won the better of that encounter.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. And that's the problem in my mind, is the situation here. Braun Strowman versus Big Show happened literally a few weeks ago before Mania. We're already revisiting this match, and I believe they fought, was it in the main event of Raw? I can't quite remember.
Yes, it was. It was in the main event of Raw, and they were doing chain wrestling.
Right. They literally just fought a few weeks ago, and this is after Big Show or Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns are again rekindling their feud from February. And it just feels like, I get we had the big moment, the big spot at the end, but it feels like wrestling on replay right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing right now when I say I feel like they're holding things back. Like, okay, we got to wait till this next show and then the show beyond that. Like, you know, so they're going to do Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman. I don't think they've announced the style of match yet, but I think we all believe it's going to be like a stretcher match or something where the winner or the loser doesn't get pinned or has to submit, anything like that. So it allows for Roman to win. It allows for Braun to win, and it doesn't really hurt the opponent too much. And I can see them going either way with this, and we'll find out, you know, in the coming weeks. That match is like 2 weeks away, you know, on Payback. So they're going to do Reigns against Strowman, but you still feel like something is bigger down the line for both of them, or there's got to be a bigger match down the line for both of them. Because I think come later on in the summer, we all believe, okay, when Lesnar is back, which one of those two guys does he face? I still believe it's Braun Strowman at SummerSlam. But that doesn't mean they couldn't do Roman before then. It doesn't mean they couldn't do a three-way match. It doesn't mean that it would be Roman Reigns against Lesnar at SummerSlam and no Strowman and they find something for him. But it really feels like, you know, between those two guys, when it comes to Strowman and Roman Reigns, that they want to do a little bit more with Braun right now and then Roman maybe down the line.
The problem is, though, neither one of these guys benefit from this. I mean, we've already seen Braun Strowman get so much over from beating up Roman Reigns last week. And so, again, I think you're kind of in a no-win situation here, especially if Braun Strowman loses. Obviously, he gets the rub from Big Show because we assume he won on Monday night. But they need to be doing something different and separate from one another. I get that Vince likes his big guys, but from a storytelling perspective, we're really in the dark right now with both of these men. And so, I think you could do a lot of things with Roman. We've talked about how he should be a heel at times. But more importantly, Braun has been showing something that we really did doubt that he had 2 years ago, or that he would be at this level yet, I should say.
You mean arm drags?
Yeah. Well,
being able to throw arm drags?
Well, we'll just say that he has done more with this character, with this persona in the ring than I expected that he would. And I really feel like, to a certain extent, it's being wasted on Roman Reigns. Not that they don't match up well, but he's a beast. And that storyline is so great. It was so awesome seeing him beat up all these random jobbers Monday night. Golden Truth, you're done. Him carrying around Kalisto by the arm. I love that. And I think you put him with Roman Reigns and they take all that away from him real quick. And I'm disappointed by that.
Well, it just feels like if you're going to do the Reigns match, it should be something that be built up to, you know, in a longer period of time. And I know that they were even doing this before the draft, and they had even done some of this between Roman and Braun before WrestleMania. It just feels like the way that they've done, the way they've built up Braun, and it's been a very good buildup so far, is that they should be waiting to down the line. You know, Braun has his own path, Roman has his own path, and then it's this clash of titans
right,
you know, at some point. Instead, that big clash is going to be the leftovers between those two guys against Lesnar, you know, later on this year. That's what it feels like. Like I said, they could do a three-way. I would not do that. Mm. But it just feels like, you know, these two guys are too big to be like, okay, this is like the semifinals and the winner moves on to face Brock. Like, this should be the culmination of something really big. These are the guys that should be in the finals, you know, because there's these two rams in the wild that are ready to butt heads.
I completely agree. And I think what you're wasting here is the chance to put Roman in a better position and to put Braun in a better position. Neither one of these guys are over yet. And that's what we have to keep focused on here. Roman Reigns is hated. He gets a reaction. He's not over with the fans. Braun Strowman, even as a heel, he's getting that reaction and getting that heat, but it is very easy to pull him back too much and lose that. Now, they did the thing with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. I was worried about that. It did not hurt him that much. But if you have him lose again, or you put him on the back burner, all of this heat, all this momentum is going to take a serious left turn, and that's bad for Braun Strowman. So to your point, yeah, build these guys up, make them both monsters, and then next year at WrestleMania, have this be a culminating feud.
I was really surprised by the reaction that Braun got, because I thought people were going to love him a lot more. And like, even when he first showed up, like, people are just going to love Roman for what he did. And there were some cheers and there were some boos. So there was still some reaction that this guy is a nasty monster. And then there's some people that are like, oh, my God, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread because of what you've done to Roman Reigns.
Are we convinced that those boos aren't being piped in?
I think so, but I don't think they really pipe stuff in anymore.
I think they do. I am not convinced those boos were legitimate on TV.
Maybe.
Maybe conspiracy theorist Wiseman over here with his PBR and hipster hat. I don't know.
Well, I mean, this goes into my whole theory about the way that WWE books things these days. I've said this before, that, you know, they're just trying to create moments. That's why, like, every time somebody does something big, even when they do something not so big, what's the first thing that WWE does when they're doing the show? They cut away to get a reaction shot from somebody in the crowd. Mm-hmm. They want somebody's eyes bugging out of their head. They want somebody going, ooh. They want somebody laughing, crying, dancing, getting mad, whatever. Hands over their face, hands over their head. They want some kind of over-the-top reaction. I'm surprised we all just don't go to a WWE show and we all just pantomime like the biggest reactions no matter what happens. Like, I'm waiting for like headlock and somebody just covers their eyes. Oh! You know, and screams, you know, or something.
Sleeper hold. Oh my God.
Right. What? You know, like they just start doing, you know, fandangoing or something. I don't know. But that's kind of what WWE does. And they set that all up for when they, you know, demolish the ring and that spot. What was the first thing they do? They cut to the crowd and everybody's like, oh my God. You know, and that's what WWE is trying to do. They're trying to create these moments and these reactions. And there's good and bad that comes with it, because I know you want to make this into this fun-filled, interactive thing, but at the same time, is it organic? Is it something that we're just building that moment and then, okay, what can we do for the next one? What can we do for the next one? And that can be tough to do when it's just not something natural. Like, oh, we got to have a big moment here. You know, that's kind of where I feel they're at right now in some ways.
Well, and it takes away from your storytelling. And I think they've been doing this for a while. You saw this happen again at WrestleMania a few years ago when Seth Rollins cashed in. They had a very mediocre card. They ended up having some good matches or decent matches on it. But Seth Rollins cashing in was the story coming out of that show. And that was the excitement coming out of that show. Now, it made sense with that feud at the time, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. It was very organic to interject Seth Rollins in the middle of them. However, you can't just build towards these surprising moments or big moments or pops all the time. And they make great video packages. They're great to look back on during Hall of Fame segments or in your promotional videos for the WWE Network. But you lose hardcore fans who are interested in seeing a good product week in and week out. And that's where I'm lost. Raw overall was a very meh show, right? We had not a whole lot of progression on almost any storytelling front. We even had Finn Balor in essentially a squash match that did nothing to further his stance of what he's going to be doing in a couple weeks at the pay-per-view or coming out of this whole segment in this post-Mania lull. So I get why they do it, because it appeals to a casual audience. And if you're trying to build up your WWE Network subscribers, maybe that works. Maybe I'm in the minority here. I'm the one who appreciates good storytelling. But for me, this is why I go back to SmackDown every week. Good wrestling, good storytelling, a tight 2-hour package. And NXT has been like that for quite some time, too.
Well, you look at what's going on with Raw. So Balor is in a holding pattern because they're waiting for Bray Wyatt to finish up, you know, the match in a couple weeks against Randy Orton. So they don't know what to do with Balor right now. I get that. The tag team division is a little bit in limbo now on Raw because Dash Wilder broke his jaw over the weekend doing an NXT house show, and he's going to be sidelined for 8 weeks. And it looks like they're going to have the tag team on the sidelines until he comes back, which makes a lot of sense. But that really stunts the momentum of the tag team division on Raw right now. And then they went back to The Miz against Dean Ambrose, because if you didn't get enough of that feud while I was on SmackDown, well, we were going to bring it to you on Raw.
What are they thinking with? I mean, why did they go back? It seems so lazy to bring two guys over and immediately have them feud with one another just because they're on a separate show.
I totally agree with that. I know that they'll say, well, it's not necessarily the same audience, but you know what? The bulk of it is. I look at it as you book it for, it's the WWE audience. There's going to be some people that only watch Raw. There's only going to be some people that watch SmackDown. I don't think it's a totally different audience. Right. There obviously is some crossover, but it just seems weird that that's the first thing that they go back to between those two, is like, we just did this. It wasn't like they did it 6 months ago or a year ago. They just did it.
Well, and I'm going to say something that maybe is not entirely true here. So feel free to jump in and correct me. But a lot of what's happening right now, especially on Raw, feels lazy. And I'm not accusing the writing team of being lazy. I know they're busy. They work a lot. Everybody in that company works their rear ends off. But defaulting to a feud like this for the mid-card title again feels lazy. What they're doing with putting stars in holding patterns, Braun Strowman against Roman Reigns again so soon, tossing him to the Big Show on Monday night, all of this feels lazy. Having nothing to do. How could you not have something to do with Finn Balor? He was your first ever Universal Champion. And you just say, oh, we're going to put him with Curt Hawkins. It's good that we have Curt Hawkins over here. That all feels lazy. It feels like they don't have a good plan for anything, and they're not willing to come up with one. And okay, we need to do something. Let's have a big splash. Let's have the ring collapse. Still, it's a cheap tactic. It is a gimmick, and it does not cover up essential laziness when it comes to good storytelling.
Well, if you want to talk about good storytelling, I think it's pretty lazy that they haven't gone back to the whole Finn Balor lost the championship by never losing a match last summer. They have never once even discussed that. They said he is the first ever Universal Champion, but they never talk about how he lost the championship. Why isn't he going immediately after the champion? Like, shouldn't he feel scorned? Like, hey, I am still a champion. You're not the true champion because I got injured. I had to lose the title. So you should immediately be going after that. Sure. Now, I know it doesn't fit their storyline purposes, but you know, when you talk about good storytelling, that's one that's really up in the air. I know that there's some things that maybe people don't remember, but there's a lot that people do remember. And I think people appreciate it when you say, we remember these things and we like the attention to detail. I'm not saying that you have to look at every little nook and cranny, but there definitely are some bigger things that you need to look at. And too many times WWE says, oh, you know what? That happened in the past. And what's in the past is in the past. And don't worry about that.
They book it like a circus. They book it like they're a traveling road show. And then each town is a new town. And maybe you have snippets of information about what's been going on, but you're not really caught up. And so here, we'll just do something different this week because we're a live show. And you have some flexibility. You're pro wrestling. You're on a stage. You have all the lights and sounds to cover this up. But nowadays, with the way fans have access to the content and to the information, it's ridiculous. And again, lazy that we cannot do better than what we did on Monday night overall.
Well, don't worry, because on Tuesday night SmackDown, you know what they're doing there? They're making stars because they've got a new number one contender. Try to say this with a straight face. And it's nothing against the man in particular. It's just Jinder Mahal is now the number one contender for the WWE Championship. And, okay, I understand that you want to make a new star, and I understand that you have a new contender now. You want to get a fresh storyline. Here's my issue with gender, though. There has been no steps to him even being a mid-card guy. It has been basically he loses. And a lot of times he doesn't even come close to winning. And then now he's in a competitive match in the six-pack challenge. He's kicking out of big moves, and he comes away as the winner and the number one contender. So that's my problem with it, is like, that's cool if they want to make a new star, if they want to build somebody up. But it just felt like it was way too big of a leap for him to go from the position he was at to now, this is the guy that is a real threat to beat Randy Orton for the championship.
I think they finally picked up on my theory from last week that they have separated every member of the three-man band. Jinder Mahal is going to be a world champion. Heath Slater is going to be a world champion on Raw. And, of course, we have a pretty good feeling that Drew McIntyre is going to be your NXT world champion on NXT. So they listened to us, Brian. They picked up my idea. Good for them. Three-man band ruling the entire WWE landscape. Awesome.
I'm trying to be nice about this because Jinder has obviously worked extremely hard, you know, to not only come back to the company, but get in shape and everything. And I know there'll be a lot of people that are out there saying, well, we know how he got in shape. Jinder will tell you he is not taking any shortcuts. He's detailed everything on Instagram and Snapchat, and he works out harder than anybody else in the company. He diets harder than anybody else in the company. So throw that out the window, okay? You know, I understand the guy is working extremely hard, you know? Like I said, though, just to put him in this position from where he was at, it's too big of a leap for me right now. Like, if they have, like, put him, like, in the mid-card, he won a match here or there, you know, and then next thing you know, he's in the mid-card, and he's challenging for, you know, the United States Championship, something like that. Okay, that's fine. But it's just weird to go from this level. And I know people say, well, remember back in the day when they had so many injuries that they had to put JBL as, like, the top guy on SmackDown. Okay. JBL had actually accomplished something, though, before then. And maybe not in singles, but at least as a tag team. It was just a different feel around JBL. And the circumstances were a little bit different, too. This one, it just feels like it's a strange choice right now.
You know what's funny, though, is you bring up JBL. And actually, the segment... So, I watched SmackDown Light. I watched it today and not last night. I do that sometimes. And so, I knew that Jinder Mahal was the one number one contender. And I tweeted out yesterday, whenever they showed the lineup for the number one contender match, it felt like they mixed up last week's United States Championship number one contender match with this week's World Heavyweight Championship contender match, when you have all these guys who, in quite some time, including Dolph Ziggler and Sami Zayn, probably the biggest stars in this match, have not sniffed a world title run in quite some time. So I was surprised by the lineup they had, and it really does fit into Shane's whole "we make stars" gimmick, right? So I knew what the outcome was before I watched the segment, and I was going into it very jaded. I said, "Ugh, Jinder Mahal, really?" But, however, when I watched this, it really reminded me of JBL's ascension. And here's why I say that, because back in the day, if you remember where JBL was right before he became a world champion, he was nothing. He was a hardcore champion and former APA member at best. Not that he had not accomplished a lot. He'd been around the biz for a very long time, but his ascension really came so far out of left field that you're like, what are they thinking on this writing team? But it worked. And when I saw Jinder Mahal, knowing he was going to win, of course, I saw him in this match. And I saw the way they booked him as a big guy, as a tough guy, as a competitor. He still had to cheat to win in true heel fashion. I don't know. I was actually a little bit convinced by this move. He's got the look. Now, he's ripped, and sometimes he scares me a little bit how ripped he is. And I know there are rumors about blah, blah, blah. I don't have any comment on that. But what I will say is this. If you put a championship belt around his waist, he's got a look. And I think that's impressive. I agree with the criticism. He's coming from nowhere. He's coming from being a jobber to being a main event contender. But they've already added, what was it? The Bollywood, what are those guys? The Bollywood Bros? what are their names?
The Bollywood Boys.
The Bollywood Boys.
So the Bollywood Boys are going to be teaming with, or they'll be paired with Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
And they'll make some kind of new faction.
Right. And he's feuding with Randy Orton. He matches up well with Randy Orton size-wise, look-wise. This could be a fun match. I'm going to actually give Jinder Mahal a chance and see where this goes, because even his promo, Brian, even his promo that he cut after that match was really good.
Well, we're all just jaded, cynical Americans.
I mean, the content was a little bit generic. I agree. And I hate whenever they lean into that. I'm different than you because my skin color is different. His right. delivery was good.
The racial stuff, I get a little bit sure. like, oh, I don't know if I really want to go there. And he's talking about how he's better than everybody because, and they're going to the storyline because my family is wealthy. And he goes, because I speak two languages. And I was like, you know that Sami Zayn, I believe, speaks five. right. I know Cesaro speaks five languages. I'm like, you know. But, I mean, it just goes into being a heel character. I mean, it goes into that.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing, too. Like, I understand, like, they got to fill up programming every week. And I thought that, like, because it sure sounds like this title match is going to be on a pay-per-view. Okay?
They announced it for Backlash, yeah, I think.
Backlash, right? If it had been like a TV match in like a week or two, totally understandable. But this is going to be the world championship match on one of your events, one of your pay-per-views. That to me is just like, oh boy. Just because, hey, we'll see where this goes and it could work out pretty well, but there's going to be a lot of skepticism going into it. And now people are going to be like, okay, what else are you going to give me on that show? Because Jinder Mahal, considering where he's been at, challenging Randy Orton for the championship, I don't believe that. I think I already know what's going to happen. I have no interest in that. I mean, they're going to do Kevin Owens against AJ Styles for the United States Championship, and that might even end the show. But this is not exactly one where they're at right now where everybody's going, yep, got to see that match. Jinder against Randy. Think there might be a title change.
You know what, though? So there's always this little spot in the back of my mind that says, yeah, but what if WWE does something really crazy, and instead of this happening at Backlash, like they've kind of advertised, Randy Orton actually loses the championship to Bray Wyatt in 2 weeks?
Hey, I said that. I thought that might happen.
And then you lay out a scenario where AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens is actually your main event at Backlash, and you can bring the title back with a Money in the Bank cash-in in a couple of weeks or something crazy like that. There is a scenario there where they can take a world championship off of SmackDown for a couple of months and bring it back around Money in the Bank time. I don't know that that will happen.
I don't know if it'll happen either, but I brought that up before, man. I don't think it's too crazy. I don't see Jinder Mahal being the world champion.
Well, but do you remember when Sheamus won it? Do you remember when Sheamus won the world championship?
Yes. Remember when he beat John Cena? He'd just been on the main roster for a couple of months.
Yes.
And he beat him in a tables match. He didn't even pin the champion. He beat him in a tables match to win the title.
It was crazy. It was like the shock factor of, did this just happen?
That did happen. I mean, it's just a little bit strange the way that all of this has progressed when it comes to Jinder Mahal being put in this position. And now you've got the Bollywood Boys that are out there, which I don't know if the announcers really did a good enough job of explaining, like, hey, that's the Bollywood Boys. Like, they did after one point. They're like, excuse, who was that over there? I think that was the Bollywood Boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had to do that. So, I mean, there's, you know, I don't know. I would just have to wait and see how this goes out. I mean, if you really want. So now we got to come up with a name for this faction with Jinder Mahal and the Bollywood Boys.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions?
I think you could
Sikhs are us. I don't know.
I agree. They're leaning a little bit too hard into the racial stuff. So I don't want to name them something racial or name them something off of their ethnicity or their country because or what is known about their country. I think that could be very bad.
Could we put Aaliyah from NXT with them as well?
Oh, my God.
So we can have a female presence?
Oh, my God. I've been rewatching. So I haven't told you this. I've been rewatching The Office. You've seen The Office, right?
Every episode. Yes.
So my wife and I watched it when it first came on from point A to point Z. And it's been long enough now that I said, you know, let's go back and revisit that. And there is nothing more awkward than that Diversity Day episode where Michael starts talking to Kelly and Kelly, who is Indian. And he starts doing this really terrible. It's almost like Quickie Mart from this, you know, Simpsons style. Cookie. I like your cookie. I get you a cookie. It's terrible. And that's what it feels like sometimes with WWE and the way they lean into this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, who knows what they're going to do here? They're trying something a little bit different to, you know, make stars. It almost feels weird though. Like, so like this happened like right after they did the shakeup, and it felt like, okay, you had more talent between the two rosters than prior to the shakeup because you brought a couple of guys up, including Shinsuke Nakamura. But now they feel the need like, oh, we need to make another star, which that's cool if you're going to be ahead of the curve and you think that this is the guy. But they like, we got to bring up another guy, you know, for SmackDown. They bring up the Bollywood boys. And now there's a report out there. I believe PW Torch is reporting that Mike Bennett and Maria have been signed and they're going to be debuting at SmackDown here in the near future.
What I don't understand is why they're not dipping into something like that. If you want to make a star out of somebody, I think Jinder Mahal has potential, other than the fact that he cold clocked Finn Balor last week on Raw. I think he has potential, but I don't understand why you don't make a splash with somebody like that. Bring Mike Bennett in. Here you go. Boom. You're now in the main event picture just like that, because he is as well known to a certain extent as Jinder Mahal is, and he's got a little bit more main event cred. Or better yet,
Bennett's never been in WWE, but Maria has, right? And she's the one that's going to get all the attention when they first come in.
Well, and you know, I think there are other ways you could bring in stars, or you could have brought up Bobby Roode and imagine the feud between him and Randy Orton at this spot. It would have been hilarious, not hilarious, but it would have been really cool to see him as the NXT champion saying, you know what, I have this championship, but I want that one as well.
Yeah, as long as you don't put down the NXT championship.
Sure.
You have to find a way to do that.
Right.
But yeah, you can do that.
I don't know. I'm fantasy booking now. Just let me go.
Here's the whole thing, too, because we're talking about, here's another, if we really want to delve into the, well, let me justify this first. SmackDown was not a bad show.
SmackDown was a good show this week. It was a good show. Let's
SmackDown say that. It wasn't a great show. It was a good show. There was no lulls. I didn't feel bored at any point or anything like that. But here's the question I have for you. Because we can all sit there and say, we think that AJ Styles is a babyface. We don't know for a fact, but we think he is. And now he's going to be challenging Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. Okay, so why isn't AJ Styles pissed off like he was before WrestleMania that he is not getting a chance, a shot at the world championship, especially when there is a six-pack challenge going on, and he is not one of those six guys, not two, not three, not four, six guys from SmackDown, and he's not one of those six in that match?
Well, especially after earlier in the night, Shane McMahon had basically told Natalya, yeah, all you had to do was ask for a one-on-one match, and I would have given it to you for the women's championship.
Oh, I know, right? It's just like, so that's all we got to do now is just put your hand up in class. Ooh, you know, yeah. And you'll get a shot. So that was just kind of weird to me as well. So they, like I said before, I really think they're kind of in this holding pattern to what they're going to do later in the summer. And we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Maybe we need to give some predictions for what is going to happen at SummerSlam. Well, and we said we were going to do that this week. So I think we need to come up with some answers here.
Well, we can do that. I do want to say, I think the added element of Charlotte into the women's division on SmackDown has been interesting. I think it's very obvious that she will be winning the women's championship next week on SmackDown. I think they want to put her up there and have her be the face of that division now and set up a rivalry between her and Becky Lynch going into SummerSlam. I'm worried they're going to hotshot that and do it too soon, but that would be your SummerSlam match, Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. I am convinced she is going to win the championship next week and carry it through the summer.
She might. I mean, I could see Charlotte against Becky Lynch, and then on Raw, I think the women's match going into SummerSlam will be Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Okay.
But the question will they take the title off Bayley and put it on Alexa Bliss to kill some time between now and then. Bayley wins it back at some point, and then that sets up the match with her and Sasha for SummerSlam.
Hmm, could be. And she's over. God, she was out there. She got that win. She snuck in there and got that pinfall Monday night. She is so over right now. It's not even funny.
Well, you know, I think we got the women settled, but here's the difficult part. Okay, so what do they do when it comes to the guys for SummerSlam? Because I still think it's going to be Brock Lesnar against Braun Strowman. I have no idea where that puts Roman Reigns then at that point. I have none. I think Kevin Owens, obviously, we got to figure out who he's going to be against. Finn Balor, AJ Styles. I know that they have the match this week on SmackDown, but if you noticed even in the promo before the match when AJ and Baron Corbin were going at one another, Baron Corbin called out Sami Zayn. So I think we're going to get Sami against Corbin coming up here. And I could see a scenario where AJ against Baron Corbin got revisited at SummerSlam.
Okay, so let me throw this at you. Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt SummerSlam.
They've done that before, but that doesn't mean they couldn't go back to it very easily.
Okay. Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose SummerSlam.
They could. I could see them doing a triple threat between the members of the Shield.
That's a possibility. I think that could be your money match for those three guys. Because what's Seth Rollins doing right now? He's feuding with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns have fought already. That's a tough one. If you're convinced Braun Strowman is the guy.
Yeah. I was going to say Bray Wyatt against Samoa Joe at that point, but they're both heels.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to flip either one of those guys. The Miz is an obvious up-and-comer, but I'm fairly convinced they're using this feud with Dean Ambrose to transition that title back to The Miz. I think they want more segments with him. So...
They do Roman Reigns against Samoa Joe and they do Seth against Dean.
Yeah. Seth versus Dean, Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns. Who does The Miz face? Defending Kurt the Hawkins? Intercontinental Championship. Kurt Hawkins. Screw you. God.
That could be a real challenge for him, too.
They're going to draft him back to NXT next week, right?
Dude, this is where they need Mike Bennett and Maria against Miz and Maurice. Not even doing the match, but just kind of have that element of the two women again.
But the whole thing is that gimmick is going to get old after a while. Look, the It couple is finding another couple in the company. That's going to dry itself up over time.
And they're probably going to lose to another couple as well. There's a lot of questions right now. We're on SmackDown, too. I mean, like I said, you know, what are they going to do with... So where does Randy Orton fit in? Where does... Kevin Owens fit in. Cena's coming back. I think we're going to see John Cena against Shinsuke Nakamura at SummerSlam.
What if I throw a scenario at you that maybe...
What is this, an ESPN 30 for 30?
You're not expecting. Okay. Jinder Mahal, work with me here, wins the World Championship at Backlash. Holds on to it through the summer.
What?
And feuds with John Cena going into SummerSlam, the future of America at stake.
You asked me to work with you, not get delusional, okay? There's a difference. There's only so far the mind can stretch.
It could be the PBR talking. It could be the PBR talking, but
I think it definitely is the PBR talking.
I am somewhat convinced.
Be honest with me. How many of those did you crack open before the show?
I'm not at liberty to say. This is not a...
When they're only 33 cents a can.
This is not an AA meeting. Deal, I can't tell you things like that. Those are reserved for my meetings. Okay.
You're getting a 24-pack for $8. You know, you better put it to good use.
I'm just saying. John Cena versus Jinder Mahal, SummerSlam for the WWE Championship.
Oh,
the most prestigious championship in all of professional wrestling.
Wait a second. Isn't Kevin Owens the man now that's talking about how he is representing America? So maybe it needs to be Kevin Owens against Jinder Mahal.
For a unification match. We keep upping the odds here. This is great.
Yeah.
I don't know. But in all seriousness, I don't think...
Will Jericho even be back by SummerSlam too?
Well, I doubt it. If he wins on Sunday or 2 weeks from now, he has to come back to SmackDown. Who knows? I kind of like this moment, though. I kind of like this space we're in right now where we can see them starting to line up some of the future matches in SummerSlam, but it doesn't feel too much prescripted yet. I still believe we're going to get Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I don't think they're going to want to wait that long because I think Vince McMahon sees dollar signs in having Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar.
I think the best thing that's going on right now when it comes to WWE is that there is a lot of talent and there is a lot of directions that they can go. Mm. And I think we'd be happy with a lot of those different directions.
Sure.
You know,
if Jinder Mahal wins, I would be happy. Let's
I'm sure you would, man. You got to come up with that nickname for the group, though. Him and the Bollywood boys.
They would make it something anti-American and somewhat racist. They would probably just call them Islam. I mean, let's just be honest. WWE would just... Let's just call it like we see it.
Mm. How about we just call them enemies of the state?
Right.
There we go.
Right.
Enemies of the state.
Right.
You're welcome.
What was the other one? What was the one they did last year?
Oh, God. Why don't you call them SOI? State of Islam.
State of Islam, right. ISIL. They're going to be ISIL. They're not Islam. They're ISIL.
Oh, jeez. Don't even do that, man. I don't want to hear Daesh. I don't want to hear ISIL. I don't want to hear ISIS.
Oh, God.
None of that. None of that. No. That's too far. There's a line. There's crossing a line. There's jumping across and running. That is where that's at.
Vince
right
McMahon's
now.
Like, you know, Al Qaeda's kind of falling out of favor. We could use that one, don't you think? Huh? Swipe left, right?
Al Qaeda. Oh my God. I'm sorry, Jinder. I believe you are a citizen of the United States. I apologize.
I'm defending Jinder here. I've been the one on this podcast saying I think he should be the world champion.
Why are you waving your arms around when you talk about defending Jinder?
I want you to know I'm not involved in any way. It's not.
Jeez. Oh my goodness. Oh. So is there anything else we need to hit on WWE now that
now that I've screwed you up so bad?
Yeah.
Oh, hit on.
Why don't you plug something for us right now, real quick?
Okay, Winston-Salem. Winston-Salem is the city where dreams are made. Winston-Salem.
How about you plug something for the podcast?
Oh, you mean like for us, like legit?
Yes.
We're going off the rails here, buddy. If you are watching us live, please join us in the chat room where Tim Clements, Ratnick, and Burnsy are having a hell of a time commenting on my terrible booking and the potential of Jinder Mahal as your next world champion. YouTube.com/between the ropes. While you're there, please subscribe. Also, if you're watching us or if you're watching us after the fact, hit that thumbs up button. It lets people know you like what we're doing here. It helps us get more exposure out there on the interwebs. We're real excited. And by the way, those of you who have been kind enough to leave us a review on iTunes, we really appreciate that. We need the exposure for you guys. We can say, hey, we're good. We think we put out a pretty good product. But when you all preach to the masses that you like our product and what you think we do well, it really helps us feel like we're making a positive impact here in the podcasting world. But also, it lets other people know that we're not just crazy, that people do listen to us. So subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, YouTube, wherever. We appreciate you. Thanks for watching. And we still do have questions coming up here in a little bit, too. So if you're in the chat room, get those in right now.
Yeah, we'll get to those here in just a few minutes. Let's talk about a couple other things here in the meantime. So we were talking about injuries before we started taping the show today. And there's a couple of big injuries when it comes to wrestling, or even just recently over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, Finn Balor suffered a concussion, went through protocol. He was back on Raw this past week. But, you know, that stiff shot that he got caught with by Jinder Mahal, you know, the previous week on TV and or a couple of weeks ago. So that had happened. People were talking about that. We know that Finn doesn't like, he has no problems working a snug style. And I would have to assume that that's probably what happened, is they were just kind of working snug and, you know, mistimed something and Jinder caught Finn and he got a concussion off of that. Unfortunately, you know, Dash Wilder, you know, breaks his jaw. He got hit with a big punch by Hideo Itami at an NXT show. Mm. So that's put him on the sidelines for a little while. And then now we've seen this injury with Shibata. This goes back to the April 6th match that he had with Kazuchika Okada, where in the middle of this match, and I know some people say this is very dramatic, and we talked about it a little bit here before, but he just flat out gave Okada this horrific headbutt. I mean, just square between the eyes. And Okada seemed fine afterwards, but Shibata, he immediately or soon thereafter had blood just dripping down his face. And then come to find out after the match that he collapsed. He had to be taken to the hospital. He had a subdural hematoma. That's what he's been diagnosed with. And the belief right now is that his career is over because of this injury. He will never be allowed to wrestle again. He's 37 years old. He's an incredible wrestler, but he also has this track record of working stiff. I mean, it's not just snug, but stiff. And that's what we come to expect a lot of times in Japan. But I think there's still a difference because when it comes to, like, you know, being stiff with chops or, you know, kicks to the chest or even some other moves, that yes, it's going to be more physical. But there is still a line that could be stepped over. And one of the major ways to do that, I think, has been, well, two ways. Number one is shots to the head. And for the most part, we've gotten rid of chair shots to the head. And those need to be gone. Okay? There's no excuse for that anywhere. The other one is headbutts. And we've seen this happen in the past. Daniel Bryan, there's a lot of belief that, you know, the diving headbutts he did off the top rope might have led to, you know, the injuries that he had and why he's not wrestling now. And then we see this with Shibata in this brutal headbutt they dished out and the injury he had afterwards. I don't know if he already had something going on and this just exacerbated that, or if the injury he has now is just because of that one headbutt. But it just goes to show, like, yes, it's cool to watch guys get really, you know, snug in there and work stiff and make it look as real as possible. But to me, the bottom line is it's supposed to be professional wrestling and it's supposed to be a work. The number one rule is supposed to be to take care of your opponent, but make it look as good as possible. And now, unfortunately, we've seen a couple of guys really get injured, and it's going to cost one guy's career.
I want to give a shout out here to Bill Dixon, who did write in and ask us a little bit about this. And he said, is it time to ban headbutts in professional wrestling? What do you think about the possibility of Shibata's career being over? It's cool that Japan does their own thing. I think it's awesome. They have this strong style. I think it really creates some fun moments. But if you go back and watch the headbutt in this match, it took place right after Shibata basically no-sold a haymaker clothesline. And he does his quick headbutt. And it didn't add a ton to the element of this match. And I think, to build off your point here, that it's professional wrestling, that it's not a life or death, that there's still an element of show involved in this, and that's kind of the purpose here is to work, but also to have that show and to protect each other. That headbutt is somewhat unnecessary, and it's so dangerous that keeping it in there for the little bit of drama that it adds feels very misguided. You look at guys like Daniel Bryan, who has had his career shortened due to concussions. And what does he do? He does diving headbutts. You go back to Chris Benoit. What did he do throughout his entire career? Diving headbutts. You go back to the Dynamite Kid. What did he do? Diving headbutts. And the Dynamite Kid is now injured. And it has been shown that
he's more than injured.
Paralyzed.
He's paralyzed.
He's had a couple of seizures, the Dynamite Kid has. And what the diving headbutt does is it hurts your brain, but it also hurts your spine. It hurts your body. I don't think there is a need for these moves. And I get it. I get that it was part of Chris Benoit's whole thing. I get that Daniel Bryan used them to a very effective means. But it creates so many problems that... And for what it adds to the matches, I don't think it's justified. So I don't know that you say we ban all headbutts, because even in WWE, they do headbutts sometimes, but they're very protected. It's kind of like how WWE still does chair shots, but they don't do chair shots to the head. You can still wallop somebody in the back, and it can be pretty damn impressive. Now, does it always make sense whenever somebody gets walloped in the back instead of their head if you're really going to beat them up? No, it doesn't make logical sense, and I get that. But still, the point is we need to protect our athletes and our performers in this case. And I don't think Japan should do away with the strong style, but I do think they need to be more intentional about protecting the precious parts of a human body.
I totally agree. You know, I mean, when you talk about headbutts in WWE, look at Jack Gallagher. I mean, yeah, he's going out and he's doing headbutts, but he's being careful about the way he does it. I mean, it looks hellacious. But he is being very careful about it. And I don't think WWE would allow it otherwise, because I do think that when it comes to like the flying headbutts off the top rope, and obviously real headbutts, those should not happen in wrestling. I just don't like them. I think the risk is much greater than the reward coming off of it. If you want to do a safe headbutt where, you know, it's a worked headbutt, fine. And that goes to the art of wrestling, because you can throw a worked headbutt, and if it looks good and if the person sells it and you sell it, then it's effective. And that's what we're talking about, is the art of wrestling here. And when you're talking about really hitting somebody with your head, a very fragile part of your body, and the risk that comes with it, unfortunately, these things happen. And now we're seeing a guy who's an incredible wrestler and one of the better ones in the world right now, his career's cut short because he wanted to do a headbutt. And I know there'll be an argument, hey, he wanted to do it, it's his choice. But at the same time, is it really worth that risk? Is it really worth it? Because I don't think it is.
Are performers in New Japan Pro Wrestling treated the same in WWE, as in, are they independent contractors instead of employees or professionals for that company? Or how does that work? Do you know?
They don't get benefits as far as I know, but they're under contract just to that company.
Gotcha.
You know, some week.
It's a contract situation.
They can't work anywhere else. Yeah.
Okay. It's the same basically as WWE then. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, wellness of wrestlers is not necessarily always being... WWE does have a wellness policy, but it focuses more on not doing drugs and not putting yourself in bad situations with alcohol or steroids or really hard drugs.
I think they'll make suggestions about what you can and cannot do in the ring, but it's going to be a lot looser than what we see in WWE.
Gotcha.
That would be the way that I would explain it. Okay. So it just sucks that the bottom line is that Shibata's career is over, it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 37. I mean, he still had probably at least 10 years to go.
Yeah. And have they said that officially his career is pretty much over? I heard that he collapsed, that he might not have much time as far as wrestling left in him, but I hadn't heard
that. The belief is that doctors have said, you're done. And they're never going to clear him to get back in the ring. Mm. So I guess the other thing, you know, because... with WWE kind of being this holding pattern right now, let's talk about some of the other groups that are out there right now when it comes to the indies, or even when it comes to Impact Wrestling. So, well, here's the first thing I'll ask you then. Do you consider Impact an indie?
Yes.
I do.
Yep.
I mean, to me, there's only two companies in the world that I guess I would say are not indies. And that'd be WWE and New Japan.
Yep.
And yes, I understand. Impact does have a weekly television show, but so does Ring of Honor, and I consider them an indie. It's just a different level, you know? And by the way, WWE still leaps and bounds above New Japan.
Right.
But, I mean, and that doesn't mean, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're still going out there and trying to put out a good product. You know, Impact is trying to make all these different deals. Like, they just made a deal with AAA in Mexico, and they're going to be doing some work with them coming up here. I still need to be shown a lot more from Impact, because their TV show lately has not been very inspiring. They need an influx of talent.
Sure.
To me, desperately, they really do. I just see a lot of the same formula we saw in the past, and it's like, you got to give me more. I mean, I don't know how much money they have or what they could do, but they've got to find a way to continue to shake that stink off of them, continue to make progress on these deals like they've been doing, you know, with AAA and deals over in the UK, but I need some more talent, and I need you to be doing more in the ring than the storylines that they've been doing on Impact, which have not been very exciting lately.
I think going back to your first point, the definition of an indie or an independent promotion has changed a lot in the last few years, partially driven by NXT, partially driven by the way Impact has failed to live up to its lofty expectations and goals of the late 2000s, and partially driven by the rise of a lot of good competitive companies like Ring of Honor, like other such companies that have risen up in the wake of the Attitude Era. So we call Impact an indie now. I think that's fair. I think it isn't the same level as something like Ring of Honor. It just has better production values. I think to a certain extent, Lucha Underground, they're doing their own show. I don't consider them a promotion, though. I think that's the difference. Lucha Underground is a show to me. They're not a promotion. But you have this...
And we don't even know what's going on with Lucha Underground right now. Because, I mean, they're now on Netflix, but there's still a lot of questions. Like, what does this mean for the future? There's some people that say... Lucha is on a death spiral, and there's others that say no, that's not the case.
Sure. And so it's interesting to look at the entire landscape and say this company is above this company. We all agree WWE and New Japan are kind of at the king of their heaps. On the other hand, I think that talent in Impact Wrestling is in the same level as talent in Ring of Honor. I think those two levels are very same. I think NXT is a step above that only because they're under the WWE umbrella. But I don't think NXT yet, again, is on the same level as SmackDown or Raw or main roster WWE. So that being said, your point is correct. New talent and better direction. Jeff Jarrett is back in the fold. It's his company again. What are you going to show me? And so far, I feel like Double J has failed to live up to the hype. You could say he's been a little bit slap nuts as of late.
Well, I will say this, though. I mean, it hasn't been that long of a period of time. The biggest mistake that I think that they've made so far, whether this was done on purpose or not, was when they lost talent in the Hardy Boys and Drew Galloway.
Yeah.
You know, when they lost that, to me, that was a huge, huge blow to them, especially when it came to the Hardy Boys. And then when you find out later, you know, the plans that they had for them coming up here, and that makes it extremely tough. And just see how hot the Hardy Boys were at the time. And, you know, when you lose top guys, I mean, it's extremely hard to replace, you know. And then when you find out later, like I said, you know, it was going to be Hardy Boys, Young Bucks for part of the summer, and some of that was going to be, you know, in that company, and that's gone. It's gone. Your recovery period or one of your top things is gone. And we have to give them more time, I guess, to see what is coming up. You know, can they get in some more talent, and what talent is that? Can they make some of the younger guys that they have into bigger roles where people are going to be excited about that? There's still a lot of questions. Yeah, I think you have to give them more time, but that's the problem I think Impact has had, is that people have given them so much time, time and time and time again, that it's like, you really got to wow me before I really get engaged with the product. And then here's the thing with Ring of Honor, like, so with Ring of Honor, we believe that they're losing some talent coming up here. Okay. Looks like, you know, O'Reilly is already gone. There's questions about Bobby Fish. There's questions about Adam Cole. There's questions about some other guys as well. So they always restock. They reload. But with where Ring of Honor has been at the last couple of years, I think there's still a lot of questions about why haven't you done more? Is it? And I think that's a lot of that is probably on their parent company and saying, why haven't they invested a little bit more in the Ring of Honor and tried to make this? It just feels like right now things are fine, but they could be more, and they have chosen not to do that.
Well, we don't know the entire financial implications of what going after being a bigger wrestling promotion would be, right? We don't know what it would take. We don't know if their parent company has the money. We don't know what other factors are in the way. So I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack. But I also, on the other hand, do feel like the ball has been there within their grasp for years now. I think I've been saying it for 2 years. Ring of Honor is supposed to be the next big company, and they have failed to capitalize time and time and time again. So we don't know the factors, but at this rate, Ring of Honor is never going to be anything more than what it is right now. And what it is essentially is a feeder system, a talent feeder system straight into NXT.
Well, and see, here's the thing, too. When I look at them, I'm like, I don't expect Ring of Honor to be competing with WWE. I think they could do more.
Sure.
I don't know what the game plan is when it comes to what Joe Koff and Sinclair have in mind for them. I just wish, like, you've got this golden opportunity, I think, to do something a little bit more with Ring of Honor. That if you put in a little bit more money, you can get a lot more out of it. And they're happy to go with the flow of where things are at right now. And I just feel like that's a missed opportunity. At least try. And I'm not saying you go for broke and you're going to invest millions upon millions of dollars. Like, it's going to be, you know, some $50 million investment. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, if you put in some more money to make the production look even better, you know, and you hopefully keep a few more of these talents, maybe things can be a little bit different for you. Maybe you can have a little bit more of you know, a hold in where you are in the marketplace and continue to grow. Maybe you can get that bigger television deal because you're on Sinclair, you know, broadcasting right now. You're on Comet right now, but those are kind of like these Comet's not a big channel. The Sinclair channels, you're on at different times all around the country and whatever markets that you're in. It just feels like, could you get a better TV deal? Could you? And part of that would be because your product looks even better because of your production and you keep some more guys and whatnot. And they still have a lot of talent there right now. It was just, maybe it's just selfishly looking at it, but I just like, it frustrates you a little bit going, Ring of Honor is good, but I wonder what if.
So what I hear you saying, Brian, is that Ring of Honor might not have a chance at being the next number two company to WWE or even competing with them, but that you secretly think WrestleCade is going to be that company.
WrestleCade.
No. I'm sorry. Their actual promotion, America's Most Liked.
That's the name of a promotion?
AML Wrestling. America's Most Liked. It's America's Most Liked Wrestling. AML Wrestling.
It's not a good name.
It's AML Wrestling. America's Most... It's the most liked American wrestling promotion.
If I really want to pick on some promotions, I don't know what's worse. Between that and I Believe in Wrestling.
It's still real to us, damn it.
Not good. Those are not good names at all, man. It's like, come on, people. Come on.
You know what else wasn't a good name? TNA.
No, it was absolutely not a good name. It should never happen. But they wanted to be something different. Remember, when they were doing pay-per-views, remember, they were going to have, like, they had nudity on a show one time, and they wanted to be the grown-up adult wrestling. Mm-hmm. That didn't last.
Well, I could see some potential of that.
Remember, they had a faction named XXX, okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, SCX, excuse me.
Do you remember whenever WWE had the faction TNA, Test and Albert?
Yes, I do.
Good conversation.
Exciting right there. Let's get to some questions. That will help.
Questions, you say? Well, Brian, you know, if you have a question for us, you can send those to btrmailbag@gmail.com. If you're not familiar with email, if you still send snail mail or pigeon carrier mail, you are more than welcome to post those on Twitter. Please use the hashtag AskBTR. And if you're adverse to using Twitter, you don't like mail or email, you can also post those on Facebook. We post up every week our video or our question post, and you can just add those right in there. Lots of ways to send us questions. Lots and lots of ways.
I find it kind of weird that people would not use email, but yet they'd use Facebook.
People are weird, man. You never know what to expect. The wrestling fans, you don't know what's going to happen. I have a couple of questions from the chat room, so I'm going to dig right in. Jamie File writes in, the thought occurred around Mania season. When was the advent of the smart fan, and did anything in particular prompt it?
Would you say the Monday Night Wars?
I think it was a combination of the Monday Night Wars, the Wrestling Observer newsletter back when it was still a newsletter, and people getting access to internet news in these kind of message boards, like back in the mid-90s, whenever these things were popping up on message boards a lot more, rather than being kind of all over the news sites. It created these fans who, to a certain extent, had more insider knowledge because it took more effort. Nowadays, do a Google search, wrestling, here's all your stuff. Back then, you had to know the right people, know the right places to go, be subscribed to the right newsletter to get the information. I remember back in 98, I was a young sapling back then, but a family friend of ours got this thing in the mail that told him things about, you know, where feuds were going and who was going to win championships, things like that. So it really does seem like that was the advent of fans who were smartened up over the other casual fans.
I just feel like, because the newsletters have been out there, but when the Monday Night Wars happened, because it wasn't just newsletter, you know, information that was being spread. It was stuff being talked about on TV, and that's when they really pulled back the curtain, you know, because you had to go above and beyond when it came to trying to get a viewer. This war was going on between WCW and the WWF at the time, and so many things got pulled back, you know, and they talked about, hey, this is sports entertainment. You know, this isn't real, obviously. And when that got talked about and discussed even more on TV, that's really where I think all this happened.
I mean, I think it was a combination of all of those factors. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But all of it kind of came together. Late breaking question from Burnsy116 in the chat room. When do you guys think Roman Reigns should return and how? I think he should return at SummerSlam. And he should lose to The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. Okay.
I wish he wasn't going to be on this next pay-per-view in a couple of weeks. I mean, he'll probably still be selling the injuries from that brutal beating he took. But honestly, he shouldn't be back for a couple of months. I mean, I would like it if they would hold him off for like 2 or 3 months. But that's not going to be the case. You know, it's just going to be how much do they play up that he's still injured? And does he still win this match? Or if he does, how does he win it?
Does that give Braun Strowman a chance to win, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think Braun had a chance to win either way.
I'm just saying if they play up the injury line, they can still protect Roman, I guess, while having...
That's the excuse. Like, you can do this stretcher match if you want. And Braun can push Roman across the line on a stretcher, which is dumb. And they can say, well, Roman was beaten up. You know, he was still feeling the effects of the beating from before. He's still recovering. But you know what? He's all passion and heart. And that man wouldn't be denied having this match, even though he knew he wasn't 100%.
ZombieBot says, Roman needs to be with his family now. I feel for him. I think that's a good point. I think the timing, you know. Anyway, Roman Reigns should sell the injury also to protect him from being on TV. I mean, that's the big thing he has right now is fans are going to boo the crap out of him anytime soon. So sell the injury, stay away, have a big pop whenever you surprise return on Monday Night Raw 1 week.
Hey, I think it makes a lot of sense to hold him off because of how vicious this beating was. But that was the plan, and they're going to stick with the plan that Roman is coming back after just a couple of weeks to face Strowman at Payback. Mm. The appropriately named pay-per-view because he'll be looking for Payback.
I'm going to go to the old mailbag here and see what has come in from our electronic postal service. Let me clickety-click over here.
Is that what we call it now, the electronic postal service?
It's the electronic postal service. A little electronic mailman comes and brings the mail to your electronic inbox.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, Brian? You'll never guess who wrote in.
I probably have a good guess on who did, but I'll let you tell me.
Francis writes in to ask, who do you think people will boo more over the next month, Roman Reigns or Jinder Mahal?
Hmm. Now that is actually a pretty good question. Roman. Just because they love to boo him. With Jinder, it might be more of a sitting on your hands effect.
Yeah, or go away heat. I don't know. I think Jinder did get a pretty good reaction Tuesday night after that match. It did seem like fans were happy to boo him. But I think
all those racist fans?
Right. Well, they're Americans. And see, he's not American, which is he's different than us, Brian. That's the problem. I think Roman. Do you think we could see the European title being brought up as a second title anytime soon?
No. There's too many championships already, man.
How does... this is a me question, Brian.
Each brand already has 4 titles, okay? And then you have a Cruiserweight title. That's 9 championships.
You got to have all of them. Worldwide Wrestling Federation, buddy. How does Brexit, Brian, how do you think that affects the United Kingdom Championship?
That's a good question. It only affects the UK wrestlers, I would think.
Okay.
I have no idea, man. I have no idea.
That's where they can't do a European championship anymore because the UK is leaving the European Union.
That's true. And it wouldn't be representative of all countries now, man. So, I mean, who's to say who's going to be representing Luxembourg going forward? I don't know.
Luxembourg. Francis also wants to know, ask about a few dozen other questions, but do you think we will see Lana as the new Emelina?
No. Well, you know what? Maybe. Maybe. I don't think it would be necessarily copying it, but the Emelina thing was supposed to be she was just this unbelievable model, and they wanted her to speak and walk in a certain way. With Emma... with Lana, it's going to be kind of Dancing with the Stars-esque, I guess.
That seems like a good gimmick. Hey, Dancing with the Stars was popular 5 years ago. Let's make that into a thing that we do now.
Can't we put her with Fandango if we're going to do that?
I'm just excited that in a few years, once Trump is done with being president, that we're going to have him back on professional wrestling television. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
He is a Hall of Famer, you know.
He is a WWE Hall of Famer. Speaking of
why don't they put her with the Fashion Police?
Oh, that would have been good. Francis, probably your best round of questions yet. Speaking of Francis, our good buddy Tim Clements writes in. What is the record for questions from Francis in 1 week?
God.
20?
Well, I don't know.
There was one week. There was 1 week Francis had sent us 3 separate emails. So, if I remember correctly, Francis sent us 3 separate emails. So
that's rough.
By the way,
that's really rough.
If you want a cool T-shirt, you can contact Tim at Tim3569 on Twitter. Tim had the best T-shirt a few weeks ago. It said, "Tim's a Michael Wiseman guy." That's right. You can get your own shirt if you're a fan of me. That shows how dedicated you are to this podcast and to the great talent in comedy that I bring to the show every week.
I feel bad for anybody that goes out of their way to get that shirt.
Oh, and you know what, Tim? Tim also said after last night, his wife Angel had swore off wrestling because of Jinder Mahal. Any encouraging words to get her back in? Here are my encouraging words for you, Tim. A Jinder Mahal title run could be the greatest thing we've seen in the last 5 years.
And how so?
Well, I'm sorry, I said greatest. Greatest was the wrong word there. Could be one of the most interesting thing. Listen, here's my encouraging
words. You're using that word could with a lot of leeway, I feel.
I believe, okay, how about this, Brian?
I believe in wrestling?
I believe in wrestling. I believe a Jinder Mahal title run will be better than the Great Khali's title run back in the mid-2000s.
Will there be a Punjabi prison match coming up?
I hope so. We need that gimmick back. Where are all those Punjabi prisons?
Why don't they bring back the Great Khali if they're building some kind of faction with Jinder and the Bollywood boys?
Right.
All they need is Great Khali.
Uh-huh.
And Aaliyah.
Do you reckon he can still wrestle, Great Khali?
He has a wrestling school over in India.
Do they, like, he always walked really stiff in the ring, though. Like, do they teach
them? That's because he can't walk.
I know, but isn't, like, walking kind of an integral part of wrestling?
You would think, well, but he's so big, he can't walk.
And Zach Gowen wrestled, and he could walk. So, you know, it is what it is. It is. That was not an insult. That was a statement. It was a matter of fact.
He could walk. He made his way to the ring. Mm. He was better to the ring than Great Khali did.
That is a true statement. What other questions do we have here on the Twitterverse? Let me sign in as Between the Ropes, and then we'll...
Please do that. Let's do one or two more, and then let's wrap this debauchery up.
Oh, debauchery.
I thought you were going to quiz me about my trip or something.
I was going to. Brian, how was your trip? You went to Chicago, right? How was it?
I went to Chicago. I'm very proud of myself in that. I know the city so well now because I go about every year that I don't even really have to look at a map anymore to get around. I got to go to Wrigley Field. I got to see the old girl. I got to see the park at Wrigley, which is a new section right next door to it, which I really enjoyed. What I did not enjoy are that my Chicago Cubs and the reigning World Series champions suck ass and lost both games I went to.
That hurts.
I only go up to Wrigley Field for a couple games a year. The two that I've gone to this year, they lost both. That's not good.
How are they doing this season? Because I get little notifications.
Oh, I'll tell you how they are doing. Okay. So last year, they started out ridiculously hot, like 25-6, which is just ungodly to start, you know, that good, right? So far this year, they are 6-7, and as we speak, as we're taping this right now, they are losing by a run going into the ninth inning.
So they're going to be 6-8 after tonight.
Actually, excuse me. They are 7-7 right now. They won last night. They do a come-from-behind victory on Tuesday night. So they're 7-7. They're 500, and they are losing right now at home again to the Brewers. And they had a golden opportunity in the last inning. They had men on second and third with only one out, and both Almora and Baez struck out.
What was the best meal you had in Chicago?
Oh, that's easy.
Hash House of Go-Go, right? Hash House of Go-Go. You're going to say Hash
House of Go-Go? No. I had two great meals. Okay. I had two really good meals, okay?
Okay.
So Chicago is known for its pizza, okay? I do not go to Chicago for deep dish, though. I like getting thin crust.
No, get out of here.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
And the best pizza to me in Chicago, and I guarantee, I'll bet their deep dish is just as good, especially when it comes to thin crust. It is not Gino's East.
What?
It is not Giordano's. It is Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's is the best pizza in Chicago. The best. I got the thin crust sausage with the butter crust. Unbelievable. And by the way, the best breakfast to me in Chicago, Wildberry, which is on the corner of Michigan and Rudolph. We go down there. Fantastic, man.
I'm not convinced by anything. You lost me at the deep dish pizza argument.
The best donut, which I told you about before you went on your trip there last year, Do Right Donuts. There's a couple of locations, including one on Erie, just east of Michigan, going towards the river. There's one right there. Stan Donuts is right down the corner, but Do Right Donuts is the best donut.
I have not mentioned this, but you talk about pizza. I'm going to have pizza right after we get off the show tonight. I have.
I could go for pizza.
My wife is out of town today only. So you like thin pizzas? I got a thin pizza for you. Tostino's Party Pizza.
Oh, God.
It's got little square pepperonis that are delightful.
Yeah. When it's 5 for $5, you're going to have 5 for $5 pizzas with your 24 for 8 PBRs.
You just need to buy one. You don't have to buy all five. Just buy one or two at a time to get you through the day, and then you're good.
Yeah.
So, questions. You know what, Brian? It's all the questions I got this week. I think we're good.
Is that it?
I feel like...
You sure?
I feel like people are making some offensive jokes in the chat room right now, but otherwise, questions-wise...
I wonder why. I wonder why that might be happening.
I feel like I might have opened up that door here. I felt like everything that I said was well within the realm of being politically correct. We avoid politics on this show for a reason, but people will be people, and they will say their offensive things, so...
Yeah, and they get their cues from people that they're listening
to. By the way, this is completely off the radar, off the topic, whatever you want to put it. Funniest thing I've seen all day. I literally laughed out loud at my desk by myself earlier. You've seen Man of Steel, right?
Yes.
You've seen Man of Steel. Okay. Spoiler alert, if you've not seen Man of Steel, at the end of the movie, Superman snaps the neck of General Zod.
Neil before Zod.
Yes. He snaps his neck. He kills him. It's a big moment. Superman murders somebody, right? Oh my God. This is the DC murderverse, right? This is a terrible thing that's happened. I saw footage earlier. It was actually a GIF of Zack Snyder showing Henry Cavill the appropriate way to snap Zod's neck. It was glorious. It was beautiful. And it's really funny because Superman and the guy that played Zod are standing watching him do this on another person on the set. It was really funny. You should go find it.
How does Zack Snyder have this great knowledge of how to properly murder somebody by snapping of the neck?
Well, you know, there was actually a piece in there where they played around with different neck snaps if you watch some of the actual footage. But just the actual clip of him going, "Gah!" was pretty glorious. There you go. That's your tangent for the week.
That's your tangent of the week. I think on that note, we better wrap it up. We do appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. Once again, if you follow us on YouTube, if you're watching this live or if you watch it back later, please subscribe. Just click on the subscribe button. It's very simple to do. Please subscribe to the podcast as well. All the different platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on the TuneIn app. And please rate and review the podcast as well. We hope you like this, especially after this week and all the fun and frivolity we just had. So please give us any kind of feedback there as well. Hopefully that's positive as well. Please. Do rate the podcast. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate all the support, and we will talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.